Welcome to the Man Card Podcast, where we focus on real men doing real life in real time while living in the stress bubble of life.
Males are born,
but men are made.
We're going to separate the men from the boys.
A man is as a man does.
We want to help you to become the best version of you.
Theodore Roosevelt spoke about this rare breed, saying, "The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood. The man card belongs to those protecting integrity, fighting apathy, pursuing God passionately, leading courageously, and finishing strong. A man is as a man does." Enjoy today's episode.
Welcome to this episode of the Man Card Podcast, a.k.a.
the MCP.
Dale, I just love this intro. Can't hear it right now, but I love it. And, man, it's good to be here. Good to be with you, buddy. How you doing, man?
I'm good. I can't believe you can't hear it because it's playing.
It's not playing.
It is, though.
It's like imaginary. It's like Captain Hook and eating that food, and there's no food, but they're eating it anyway.
Oh, wow.
That's not good, man. Okay. So, hey, for our men in the arena, those guys living in the stress bubble, thank you so much for listening to this podcast. Man, we're thankful that you have locked arms with us. You've gotten the arena, and we're ready to rock and roll today. I'm Jim Ramos, and I'm here with the diligent Dale Culver. And I really mean that, buddy. I appreciate you. You are a get it done kind of guy, and so I appreciate your diligence. Stop laughing.
I'm being serious. You just told me a second ago that nobody likes you.
Nobody likes you, but I like you. Hey, wait. I don't have to like you to appreciate you.
What'd you put in this coffee?
I put some. You wanted 4 cups of sugar because you like your coffee sweet like your wife. Didn't you say that?
Tastes like antifreeze. Trying to take me out?
Maybe. I found somebody who will work longer for cheaper.
Oh, okay.
I guess you can't work any cheaper than what you're getting paid. No, I'm just kidding, man. So, hey, Dale, I gotta tell you, man, I really do appreciate your diligence. I went on to our new Great Hunt for God app, and what you've done there is awesome. You've created that, is it called a thumbnail or an icon?
Icon
for links. And guys, we are now a Covenant Eyes affiliate. So guys who are struggling with pornography or guys who just want to protect themselves and their families against this horrible thing, you can go on and you can partner up with Covenant Eyes and have those you love be accountable to the things that you're looking at on the internet. And so I think that looks awesome, Dale. And hey, I want to let our guys also know this. Starting next week, we're going to release a podcast every Thursday, which will be in the same format as this. We're also releasing a podcast every Monday, Equipping Men in 10. It's just a short equipping podcast that's going to start happening on Monday. So when you guys see that, make sure you download that podcast as well. It'll be very, very helpful. It won't be on interview format, but it will be Dale and I discussing some really important aspects that help in equipping you men to thrive in the stress bubble. So, hey, Dale, do you got a man word for me today?
No, because you told me we weren't doing one.
That's for next week, dude.
Oh, God.
You don't have a man word for right now?
Actually, I do.
Okay, wing it and fling it, baby.
Okay, it is two words. It's hyphenated, and it's and it's action pants.
Action? No, you see that this is no. You can't you throw something on, at you cannot do that because people don't know what you're talking about.
I'm going there. You never let me explain. Action pants. Chuck Norris wears them.
Nobody knows this.
They do. If they're following the Great Hunt for God, they saw the post already with Chuck Norris doing a karate kick in his boots and his action pants.
AKA Daisy Dukes.
I don't even think they could qualify. They're shorter than that. And so
I'm embarrassed.
You're the one that sent me the picture and said,
but
use it.
Not for a man word.
But men need to put on their action pants.
How about just action? Let's just go with that. No hyphen, no Chuck Norris, no image of you and your Daisy Dukes.
Well, yeah, we don't want the ladies to stumble.
Let's do action. I'm going to override this.
Action pants. You got to put them on and get to work.
Oh, my gosh.
And be diligent.
You know what? Okay, I'm going to bail you out.
I thought diligent was the man word.
You are diligent. I'm going to bail you out right now. I was driving down the road the other day. I saw a bumper sticker. It said, pull up your pants and get to work.
Your action pants.
But I think you're talking, there's so many guys out there that are whining about how they've been victimized by life. Mm-hmm. And they sit around and they let other people come to them and help them and bail them out. And they need to get up off the, they pull up their big boy pants, get up, which Superman wears Chuck Norris underwear and get to work. And I think you're right. I think guys need to be more action oriented and not apathy oriented. We live in a world of soft men who let the world come to them. And so I am so thankful that today we don't have one of those guys on our podcast. We've got a man of action. So I am excited to have Tom on our podcast, Tom Cheshire. He is a guy who's been a recent friend probably the last 3 years. He is in the arena fighting the battle on behalf of men. He's just getting it done. He puts on 4 conferences a year and disciples men regularly. And I'm really excited to introduce my friend Tom Cheshire. How you doing, Tom?
I'm doing good, guys.
Did you survive our little intro there, huh?
Yeah. It's like punching Judy.
Who's Judy? Am I like as dumb as I look?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Explain this to me.
I wouldn't go there.
Oh, man. Oh, we're all caffeinated this morning. Well, first of all, Tom, before I put my gloves on, let me introduce you to the group, to our guys in the arena. Tom is 62 years old. He was born in February 9th, 1955. If you want to send him a birthday card, he would really appreciate it. He founded an organization called Relevant Practical Ministry for Men, RPM, 15 years ago, and he lives in Williamsville, Illinois. For 34 years, he's been married. 1982? Is that when you got married?
Yeah, that would be right.
Holy cow.
35 years this December.
I was in high school then.
I wasn't born.
Wow. Anyway, right. He has 2 beautiful daughters, ages 27 and 29. And how you doing, Tom, today? You ready to jump in here in the arena and get dirty with these guys?
I'm ready. Let's go.
Well, hey, I'm curious, Tom, because, I mean, we've known each other about 2 or 3 years. But tell me, I want to hear your story. 15 years ago, you launched a nonprofit organization for men. And my question is, why? What happened to bring you to that point? Because that sounds like a risky venture.
Sure. Well, it's a long, long story, more time than we have on this podcast. But I'll try to give you the thumbnail sketch of it. Basically, I got out of the Marine Corps. I got a job in corporate aviation. I worked in corporate aviation for 26 years. And in 2002, I had clawed my way to middle management, only to be shown the door in September of 2002.
Oh, whoa.
In the midst of that, God had rescued me and redeemed me and healed my marriage and given me a vision for who I was, which was this lost dude sitting in a church pretending and like I knew what I was doing and that I knew God and I was far, far from him, and rescued me through a conference, actually, a Promise Keepers conference.
Oh, wow.
And so out of that, I just became passionate for trying to, God kind of revealed to me at that point that I was not the exception, that there were thousands of men posing in our churches like they had it together and they knew what they were doing and they were Christian and they weren't. So it just that's what emblazoned me to start desiring to help other men was out of my own brokenness, quite honestly.
Well,
and so out of that, I was doing some men's ministry, some community stuff, had started a class out in town and it was an ecumenical thing where I had a bunch of men from a bunch of different churches that I had relationships with, that were coming to it. And then when I lost my job, it was just, not a natural progression, but it was a somewhat, natural progression. I tell people, there was 5 years, I don't know if you've ever heard the expression, God closes the door and he opens another one, but there's hell in the hallway. And so
never heard that before.
Yeah. No, so there was good. 5 years of hell in the hallway where I, kind of tried to push against the closed aviation door, and resisted walking through the ministry door that seemed to be flung wide open. And it took me 5 years to finally, actually the guy who's the president of my board basically told me to quit whining. And, I got what I wanted. I got a clear answer that aviation was done and over and God was moving me on. And so that's kind of where it started. I actually started a ministry prior to Relevant Practical Ministry for Men called Businessmen in Christ. And that was my first foray into forming a nonprofit. It didn't support me and it wasn't designed to support me. And then it just came to a point where that ministry wanted to continue the direction of what they were doing. And I had felt a more genuine tug to invest in a local church. And so we parted ways peacefully and amicably. I'm still friends with those guys, and they're friends with me. So I started RPM in 2002.
Wow. Well, you generated a couple thoughts in my brain, Tom. The first one, as you said, out of the wreckage or the brokenness, something with your marriage. When was your marriage at a low? And you don't have to share this, but when was it at a low, and why would you say it was at a low? What's your piece of the owner of owning that?
Well, I mean, quite honestly, it was my lust. I'd made my way into middle management. I had a secretary, and I did everything short of physically consummating the affair. And it got exposed, and I got exposed in every way possible. And that didn't have anything to do with me getting let go. And that was 5 years before all that ever happened. But that was what really, it was at that point where God really revealed my true sin and my true brokenness. So I had wrecked my wife's trust. Jesus says, you know, if you've lusted for someone in your heart, it's the same as physically consummating that relationship, right? So, I mean, the damage was equally. I mean, just because I didn't physically, have sex with this woman, the damage was no less. And so I had a couple men who came beside me, and that was actually where I got really introduced to what personal discipleship really looked like and felt like. And they were faithful. They prodded me and held me accountable and called me out when my attitude or my heart wasn't right. And so that just all that to say, that's all the things that led to this discipleship bent that I have.
And what year was that, Tom? What year was that?
Oh gosh, that was 1989.
Oh man, so this is a 90. Well, now it's interesting because your wife is a wonderful, wonderful woman, and she's fully.
Great woman.
I mean, she's fully. Fully invested in what's going on with RPM. How long? We have a lot of guys. You know, you were probably encouraged when we talk about this Covenant Eyes affiliate we have, where guys can have accountability online. But one of the things I run into regularly, I know you do too, is guys who have wandered into this secret life, and then out of that it's manifested through some kind of unfaithfulness. How long? We have guys listening to our podcast right now that have struggled with that and the, for lack of a better word, the adultery that comes out of that. How long, what's the journey for these guys? What can they expect as far as their journey back to full trust with their wives? Is it 1 year, 5 years, 10 years? Does it ever come back? How would you encourage these guys?
If I was going to even take a stab at trying to put some time parameters, I think it's different. For everybody, depending on, you know, how your relationship is and was and where you are, how long you've been. I mean, so there's a lot of variables that I think can maybe affect it one way or the other, but I'm one that errs towards longer rather than quicker. So, you know, as I've counseled guys and discipled guys through this same thing, I tell them, you know, you get it back when your wife gives it back to you is when you get it. If that's a year from now, then praise God. If that's 5 years from now, praise God. If that's 10 years from now, praise God. But you don't get it until she gives it back to you. That's the way it goes. So, and it's not, you know, it's like the guys that mentored me and discipled me basically said, you know, you have no, really, leg to stand on to be impatient in this deal. You have totally decimated it. And so if she wants to ask you where you've been for the next 5 years and you have to account for every minute of your day for the rest of your life, then that's the hole you've dug. Learn to love it and live in it and decorate it well.
Well, and that's interesting, Tom, because, you know, at least with my wife, you know, we can all speak about marriage and generalize, but all I have to go on is really my particular relationship with my woman, you with yours. You know, with Shanna, she has full access to my computer history, my computer, my phone, everything. And we just have that relationship where at any time we can grab the phone, and it's just about helping each other to understand that, hey, somebody loves you and is watching you. And so, yeah, I think you're right. And I think that journey back can be long, but there's light at the end of the tunnel. Hey, I don't want to focus on this too long because you said something to me that really spurred me. And I want to go back to this. And you were talking about the men in your church.
Right.
And if I'm wrong here, help me to understand this.
Okay.
But it seems to me, from my experience, that the church, the general church, has not done a good job of, along with the, not just the church, but our world as well. We have ignored men. We have not done a good job of actually focusing on the men. Or it is, and maybe it's not the church. Maybe it's the Jesus we're portraying to men is a wimpy version and not a biblical version. I mean, what is the problem here? How have you unpacked this?
Well, I think, you know, again, this could be its own podcast. You know, there's a lot of things that have factored into this, right? I mean, if you look at some of just the historical stuff of how we've gotten where we are, you know, you've got to factor in the Industrial Revolution and World War II and the radical feminism. I mean, all these things are, again, variables that come into play to get us to where we are, right?
Yeah.
But one of the things that we say, basically, you know, and again, it goes back to Genesis, the problems, if you will, the solutions to this culture that we're living in is the men, yes, and getting the men right. So, you know, it's something that we struggle with from when Adam went passive in the garden. So, and it's only gotten worse, I think. So back to your question of, you know, how I think that there seems to be some movement in some arenas in churches that are maybe rightly focusing on men. And I don't want to mention anything by name just because that may bring its own negative connotation to some people about it. But there's a rightness about it. And so, quite honestly, we planted our church 10 years ago, and I was just one of the people that was there. I was obviously not the pastor or even an elder at the time. I am now. But we made a dedicated, conscious decision that we were going to focus on the men, not so much at the detriment of the women, but trying to encourage the women that, you know, give us 5 years with your men. Let us invest in them. Let us develop them as godly men. And I think then you as wives and moms will be pleased with the husband and the father that comes out of this deal, and it won't be quite like, well, what's in it for the women, kind of a struggle, if you will. Well, I think existing churches, that's the struggle, right? I mean, once you start to invest in men, the devil just gets all kind of crazy with people inside the church and starts throwing out all sorts of craziness that wants to discourage you, because, again, we know if we get the men, we get the wife, we get the children. So who do we need to, you know, there's a famous quote, I can't remember who said it, but it's basically, you know, evil succeeds when good men do nothing, basically. I'm probably messed that quote up even. But
C.S. Lewis? C.S. Lewis?
I don't think it's C.S. Lewis. It's some older dude that. But I think it's Lewis.
Oh, I had it. Oliver Wendell Holmes. Anyway. Well, yeah. here's a question for you.
That's part of the problem is, you know, Satan's happy with men just doing what I was doing, just posing in church and pretending like they're in church, but they're really not engaged. So,
why are we getting this backwards? I mean, in the Bible, we realize that every time you win the man, you win the household. So, if we're using a biblical model, we're going to go after the men. If you look at the model of God, he almost always starts with men. The human race started with a man, Adam. You know, the covenant leader, the guy who brought the covenants was a man, Moses. You know, we live under the Abrahamic. He was the father of nations. You know, Jesus was a man. The disciples were a man. The prototype for this Messiah was a man, David. Over and over, we see this model. Over and over, we see this. But yet, churches continue to focus their budgets and their energy and effort on children and teenagers. So, what has gone wrong here? Why are they focusing their budget dollars and their efforts on children and teens and forgotten men? What do you see as the motivating problem or issue here?
Well, you know, again, we teach and speak on men's discipleship to churches, and we try to give this caveat. We're not saying that there's anything inherently wrong with women's or children's ministry. But if you're, you know, one of the things we say, just like you would if you were going to counsel someone financially, is you'd say, hey, bro, Jim, you come to me and say, hey, we're upside down financially. I need your help. Uh-huh. One of the first things I'm going to say to you is I need to see two documents. I need to see your check register and I need to see your credit card statement.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm going to be able to tell pretty significantly where your money's going and what's important to you, right?
Yeah.
And you're buying bass boats and, you know, compound bows and whatever hunters buy, right? But you're not spending anything on your wife and your children, or you're not paying the mortgage, or, you know, you're not doing some of the essential things you need to do. So it's the same way with the church.
Yeah.
We just did a training in St. Louis last Saturday, and that was one of the things the pastors came up and said. That was the most convicting thing you said is, let's get out your church budget, and what's your line item for men?
Zero.
If you say men are important, then there should be some zeros after the decimal point to the left of it.
Absolutely. Well, you know what I tell churches? I say, hey, listen, your mission and your ministry should not be women and children. It should be men and those they love. If you focus on men and those they love, you're going to have the children and the youth. But it flows downhill. And for some reason, I think it's easier for people in the stress bubble when they see a vibrant children's ministry, a vibrant youth ministry. They want the tendency is they want to bring their kids. It's easier. Easier than reaching men. I mean, I think men are stubborn.
Right.
I'm a man.
That's what I was going to say. You get more bang for your buck. When you do something for women, I mean, again, we coach churches all over the Midwest, and we had a fairly large church that were working with their men. They say, you know, we're just absolutely discouraged. We've been promoting this class, and we've been encouraging the men, and we get like 25 men to show up of a church that's got like 1,000 men probably, you know?
Yeah.
The women just actually accidentally mention something, and they've got 250 women that show up for it, right? And so so pastors like that, right? I mean, it's like, well, who am I going to speak to, the 25 dudes that showed up or the 250 women that showed up, you know? So it's just that it's that easy. You're right, they're stubborn, we're hard-headed. I mean, Jesus himself had 24/7 access to the 12 men, and he called them dunderheads, you know? I mean,
yeah,
they're slow. It just, you know, there's, I mean, if Jesus is frustrated, help us, right? So it's just a hard road to hoe, but it's a hard road to hoe because of the dividend that is on the other side of it.
Well,
but you've got to be able to put in the hard work and stay with it, because we tell churches, you know, 3 to 5 years is a conservative, very conservative estimate from the time that you actually start really trying to focus and develop a discipleship culture for your men in your church before you're going to be seeing any real strong substantial fruit being born out of it. 3 to 5 years. Most guys, if after 6 months, it's like, this sucks, I'm out of here.
yeah Well, and I think another thing is perspective. Instead of looking at those 25 men and seeing 25 men, then you look at those 25 men and see 25 times 5. There's way more potential. John Maxwell used to say there's gold in them thar pews. And we need to see the gold. I mean, man, I'm struck with the Jesus of the Bible, who called his three buddies, his three top guys, the Sons of Thunder and the Rock. You know, that guy attracts men. And do you think that, you know, you talked about radical feminism, you talked about the Industrial Revolution. I would throw in there in the 1850s, the Victorian age, and we can go back and back and back, not blaming anything. But do you think that these things have affected pastors? You know, one of the things I've noticed with a lot of pastors is they went through most of their life fairly anonymous, and then they get a church, and now all of a sudden they're in charge of people. Well, they've never had people follow them. Now people are following them. How can we help pastors?
Well, yeah. So, again, I think there's some pastors who are getting it.
Yes.
But
yes.
A great book that has, I don't agree with everything that's in it, but I recommend it to a lot of people if they've never read it, is Why Men Hate Going to Church.
Great book. Moral?
Yeah. And so one of the things that he talks about in there is, you know, again, out of that Industrial Revolution is kind of where things started to switch for pastors, and why that focus kind of became for women and children, because men got out of that agrarian lifestyle where they were in church with their wives and children every Sunday. And they worked in the factory 7 days a week, 15, 16, 18, 20 hours a day, and they weren't there on church. So the pastor was actually preaching to women and children. So, you know, it's kind of like, well, I can't preach to men who aren't here. They're all in the factory.
Yeah.
So my audience is now women and children. So that's part of it. I think the other thing, too, is that David Murrow brings up that makes a lot of sense, is a lot of pastors were the brainy, nerdy guys in high school. They were the guys that were getting stuffed in the locker.
See, I was heading that way, and I didn't know if you felt that way too. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, and so what happens is then, like he said, then they become the intellectual bully in churches.
Yep.
And the strong businessmen, the leaders, the strong men in his church, he basically stuffs in the spiritual locker with his theological mumbo jumbo.
Or his and complete so and total ignoring.
He neuters his studs, basically.
Oh, dude, you are preaching to the choir. Right? I'm loving this right now. Well, I mean, the songs we sing in church, right? Your fragrance is intoxicating in our secret place. Right. Tom, you know, I mean, don't say that to me, dude. That's awkward. You know, and I don't want to hear about heaven meets earth with a sloppy wet kiss. Why people sing these songs? And why pastors allow it. And I think you're right. I think they went from maybe, and I was never a bully. I hated bullies, but I could have been. I was big enough, athletic, you know. But I saw that happening. And a lot of those guys, they go get their education, a piece of paper, and now they're in front of people, and I call it a bully, a pulpit bully.
Yeah,
they get in the pulpit, and a lot of my friends who are really magnum business guys are really discouraged in the church because pastors, not all pastors, but there's this intimidation. They're intimidated, and they're unwilling to unleash them, and thus they neuter them.
Right. Yeah, I think there's just, there's people that are trying, you know. I think there are men that I look up to, like Kenny Locke and some other people that are putting out some content that are helping men and pastors really invest in men in a serious way. So I think it's out there, but it's slow, you know.
And Jim Ramos.
Jim Ramos. there are days when Tom Gensler and I are in our office here and we're literally, you know, despondent and discouraged. Are we really making a difference? Yeah. Is this, you know, and so Satan wants nothing more than us to say, let's move on to, you know, doing something else that's more fun or more, you know, supported or whatever, you know?
Yeah. So. It is a struggle. For guys like us who are in the arena trying to help men, it is a struggle. We're at a point now where we're getting probably one or two emails or calls a week from guys that are being impacted from the podcast or the curriculum. It keeps us going. Mm-hmm. But if you're not going to believe this, Tom, but we're already having to move into our rapid fire round.
Hey, so, well, I want to say something.
Say it, man.
What you said before we came on air was, you know, there's a lot of men who are listening to this that don't go to church. They're not churched men. And so I think that that's the other thing that churches need to understand with those sweet sloppy kiss songs and all that. If you want to attract the men who don't know Jesus to your church, that is not going to do it.
Nope.
And quite honestly, I get it, and I think the women kind of like it, but my wife doesn't like them. And so it's just like, you know, there's churches that have taken the cross out. They make no hymns with the reference of blood in them. It's like, come on, bro. This is.
Yeah. I like that blood. I mean, we want to hear blood as men. We want to hear about the vengeance of our Lord, you know, and so.
Let's move on to your rapid fire round.
You nailed it though. We have because I don't want to cuss, wussified. We have wussified the church, and we need to make it a place where men want to come. That's why I love what we're doing, Dale. We get guys in coffee shops, furniture stores, whatever. What? Go ahead, Tom.
I have a guy who's one of the riverboat pilots in Vietnam.
Oh wow,
Barney. I don't know if you've ever met. Anyway, he's become a friend of mine. And he does, it's not cussing, but he calls it pussification. So.
Well, that's what I was going to call it. So you just got bonus points for adding the P. So, all right, here we go, Tom. We're going to move into our, now watch this. This is for you, buddy.
He can't hear it.
He can't hear it?
Yeah, just pretend you can
pretend and say ooh all in about 5 seconds. Rapid fire round.
And. Ooh. Ah.
All right, there we go. All right. That's good. You can stop now.
No, I like it.
Stop it.
I hope you're not using that for something inappropriate.
No, I don't think so. Maybe later. Hey, I'm going to give you, what we're going to do with you, Tom, is we're going to ask you to use a word in a sentence, and you have not heard these words. And so I want you to use these words and how they would relate to men. You have one sentence only. So no explanation per word. Here we go.
I got to use all the words in one sentence,
nope,
or I get one.
Just one at a time.
Oh,
one
okay.
at a time. Come on. The Marines. These Marines. Just give me all the words at once. I can do it.
That's right. I could kill them all.
The Army guys couldn't, but I could. Here we go. Here we go. The first word is finish.
Finish. As it applies to men. Men need to finish strong.
Love it. That's one of our five fold yep. aspects of manhood. It's on the man card.
Oh.
Next word. Next word. I picked this for you because you're a Marine. Sacrifice.
Sacrifice. Men need to understand what sacrifice in marriage looks like. It means getting off your butt and doing the dishes. It means loving your wife when you don't feel like loving her. And that is what sacrificial servant leadership looks like.
Oh, wow. Dale's over here trying to put on his action pants.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I love it. Next word, fight.
Fight. Fight the good fight. We need to stay in the fight and not get out, only to finish strong, right? I mean, you're not gonna finish strong if you get out of the fight.
I love it. Stay in the fight. Next word, manhood.
Manhood. We could go all sorts of weird places with that one, but we won't.
Well, the action pants.
Yeah. I was thinking Magnum, but.
Oh, I was thinking Magnum, too.
Oh, my gosh.
Like twinsies.
Well, here, let me throw another word at you then. Let me throw another word at you. I think you're going to thrive on this one. Here we go. Hero.
Hero.
Not hoorah. Hero.
Yeah.
Hoorah.
I think if men could live a life that their wife and their kids' biggest hero, they would have lived a good and great life for the glory of God.
Man, I love it. I heard a speaker one time, success is for those who know me the most. No, who know me the best to respect me the most.
Yeah.
And man, that's a huge deal. Well, Tom, man, this is horrible. We're out of time. I'm bummed. I could go for an hour with you. Can we bring you on the show again, Tom?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
we'd absolutely. Love to have you on the show again. And, man, thanks so much for coming and being a part of this thing. So, hey, guys in the arena, check out Tom's ministry, Relevant Practical Ministry for Men. Tom, what's the website for that?
RPMFM.org. So it's the first letter of each word in the ministry. R, Roger, Papa, Mike, Frank, Mike.org.
All right.
Hey, and there's also an app.
And what? Yep.
Yeah, there is.
I just downloaded it.
Go
the
ahead,
app
bro.
Is RPM and the number for men.
Yeah,
you can find that in the Google Store or the App Store.
And that is a free app for men.
Free app.
So, yes, guys, sir. Go do that thing.
You
so.
Really have to be 12 years old or older to use that?
Is that what it says?
It does.
I don't know, maybe.
Sounds like something I'd say. let him talk to his Dale. So, hey, you've been listening, guys, to the Man Card Podcast. Tell your buddies about what we are doing here. Subscribe to us. Share us with your friends. Write a positive review. We are locking shields with you, and we're here to equip those men in the stress bubble. So give us your input. If there are any topics you'd like to hear, or if you think you're man enough to handle the MCP, let us know. We might interview you, too. We want you, men, to move from male to man and become the best version of the guy that God has created you to be. If you have any other questions or comments, you can reach us by downloading our new app, The Great Hunt for God. Just go to the icon that says contact us, and you can communicate with us as well. So thanks again for listening to this episode of the Man Card Podcast. And remember, males are born,
but men are made.
Until next time,
be a man. This is Dale Culver, and you've been listening to the Man Card Podcast. Has your man card been challenged today? If you hunger to be the best version of a man, then purchase your own copy of The Field Guide, our bathroom book for men. Jim wrote this book for men who don't read books. It's a daily study of manly words explained with great stories. You will find enough entries to read one a day for an entire year. That's right, 365 daily readings on what a man is and does. Get your copy for you and your friends on our website at thegreathuntforgod.com. You will also find our 5-book Man Card series. Grab several copies, recruit some friends, and champion the cause for men today. We are a donor-supported, nonprofit organization with the mission to transform the lives of men and those they love. If today's podcast has inspired you, consider being a financial champion by going to the Great Hunt for God and click the Give link in the menu dropdown. Also, download the Great Hunt for God app today. It is available in all the app stores for all devices. It has videos, podcasts, our store, and many other links to the world of the Great Hunt for God. Thank you for listening, and good hunting.